What's more dangerous than a couple of weeping angels? Well, about 40 weeping angels, and knowing they're working for the division. The universe and the doctor are in peril like never before, and we're going to talk about it with you coming up on this edition of your Don't Blink podcast from Golden Spiral Media.
This is your Don't Blink podcast, a fan podcast devoted to the BBC series known as Doctor Who. Sharing thoughts, theories, and listener feedback are your hosts, Wayne Henderson and Jada Wilkerson.
Thanks again for joining us. Wayne Henderson from MediaVoiceovers.com, and quick, bring me a television.
I'm Jada Wilkerson, Whovian comics enthusiast, and you stop right there. You are observed, and that is my power over you. On this episode of Don't Blink, we're here to talk about Season 13, Episode 4, Village of the Angels.
And, as is tradition, we'll share your fun and insightful feedback we received at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, as well as in our Don't Blink Facebook group. So let's go ahead and open our eyes to some of our favorite parts from the Village of the Angels. And not necessarily the first thing we saw in the episode, but it just warmed my heart and made me smile when I saw Gerald and his wife, Jean, trying to use the phone on the outside of the TARDIS. I guess that was 1967. It was just cool. It's like somebody needs to use that phone or at least try. And of course, it's all because they're missing their 10-year-old great niece, Peggy.
Yeah, that was great because that is the time frame when, well, you see a police box and you actually use it. I'm sure it wasn't there 10 minutes ago. I don't understand how they weren't surprised by that, but it was good to see the phone used again.
Indeed.
Quick question, and this is kind of out of order, but what is the angel that's the renegade angel in this have a cracked face?
I didn't notice specifically the cracked face, but if it does, is it because it's a renegade? Something happened to it when it became a renegade? That's a good catch. I have to watch the episode yet again now.
Oh, no. How many times will that make it?
Why do you think it might have a cracked face? Any guesses or theories? Or
if an angel can go renegade, then it was probably a tough fight. It might be actual physical damage. But I do like the idea that it separates it or divides it from the other angels so we can identify it more easily. I have no real theory, but just curious.
We may yet find out in the final two episodes.
Absolutely. Hopefully they're as well written as this. This was a great episode. It was kind of a spooky episode. All kinds of things like the counting of the gravestones. Like, I really enjoyed that. 92, 93, and then he's gone.
Yeah, every time you turn around, there's another gravestone. That's not ominous at all, is it?
Oh, no. What could go wrong there?
Also liked when Claire was looking in the mirror in the restroom, and she's got this pair of flimsy-looking angel wings on in this vision, and since she was otherwise clothed, I'm going to assume Claire was not channeling an old Victoria's Secret advert, but at the same time, it was really interesting seeing her transformation, whether it's all in her mind or not, because when the stone dust was falling out of her eyes, that was pretty effective.
Yeah, that was. And that wasn't her imagination, the dust anyway. She wiped it away. I really like that. I like the direction of that too, the scene with the mirror, because the music keys you in, something crazy is about to happen. But it wasn't what I thought. I saw the angel wings in the mirror, and I was certain an angel was going to be behind her or in the mirror. And as it turns out, they were on her. Yeah, that was well done, I think. And the angels just make all kinds of mess of our group here. You know what, Wayne? Something else I really enjoyed was Yaz. I mean, always. But this time, as soon as she discovered that 10-year-old Peggy was missing, she became a policewoman again. She started asking the appropriate questions, wondering if they had done this and that, and much to the annoyance of her guardians.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's probably just second nature for Yaz at this point. But, yeah, she's she's highly capable of taking care of business.
Yeah, she's proven that on a small level with her police skills and a large level, because she'll jump right in when and act as if the doctor would. I love it.
I also loved how this episode had a lot more focus than last week's episode. In hindsight, last week's episode that had so many things going on, it almost seemed a little bit like a gimmick. And I didn't enjoy that episode quite as much. But this one, we did have a few things going on, but it was great that there seemed to be an overall focus.
Very much so. Even though we are still in this 6-part serial, it still felt like almost a complete episode of Doctor Who. It had everything. It even had the bad guys like Azure speaking with remaining life forms on that, what'd she say, half or a quarter of a planet or something. They were worshiping her and her and passenger.
Yeah, it was great to see that they're still continuing that part of the storyline. And it just looked really weird. It was very effective. The partial planet and Azure, she just looks weird to me all the time. And the passenger, and hey, we're here to save you. Hop on board. We can transport you. Maybe not so much Jada.
Yeah. Thank God Belle knew what was up. She says she had encountered those things in her last deployment. Her last deployment. I wonder if she worked for Division as well.
Ooh.
Because at this point, I guess we're just assuming Vinder worked for Division. I don't think that was explicitly said, was it?
Not exactly, unless I missed it. I'm just right, looking forward to getting the resolution, or as much of it that they're willing to give us in the next couple of episodes. And speaking of Belle, she had one of my favorite lines of the episode when she said, "So much space and so much less everything else."
Whoa. Yeah, that was great. That was very, very poignant.
Loved it.
Point. Yep. There was so much in this, though. I mean, and for one, I have a question. Do you think Claire's been carrying around that newspaper clipping the entire time, just waiting for the doctor? Because she did the research. She said, I Googled it before when she was having premonitions about the cursed village and the two disappearances. She had to have been just carrying that around the entire time.
That's a great question. I didn't think about the fact that perhaps she's had it for a while, because once you're back in 1967, there's not much you can do because, you know, timey-wimey and all that good stuff. So I guess she has been carrying it. Did she say she's been living out her life for 2 years in 67?
Yeah, she went back to 65 and they catch up with her in 67 when the village disappears.
And has she been kind of trapped in that village? Or has she been able to travel to London and, you know, possibly early on catch the Beatles and things like that, and then go back to this village? Because if she had the newspaper article talking about the cursed village and knowing that every inhabitant was going to disappear on November 21st, 1967, which, of course, this episode aired on November 21st, I get the impression she must have been trapped the whole time. But it's just something fun to think about.
Also in this, Peggy says that the angels told her they'd leave her alone now, and that they can't leave the village. It ends at the edge of space, which is, I mean, now that we know what's going on, was quite a weird thing at the time. But that leaves just so many questions. How is all that working? I mean, the village is still there in modern time, I'm sure, and I need just a couple more answers on that. That just leaves me boggled.
Yeah, visually it was really cool as well, because, you know, they're just at the edge of town or the village, and oh, look, there's space. Oh, the village is shrinking. You know, this is things need to be fixed, because it's not going well for them at all. But interesting, I don't know if you can believe the angels when they tell Peggy that, oh, they're going to leave her alone now, but we really don't have any choice but to at least try. And part of this episode, I thought, was a little bit over the top and illogical at certain points. I mean, a whole gang of angels surrounding the house. It's kind of like in Star Wars when, you know, we got a few battle cruisers, but let's bring in 100 of them just for effect and go way over the top. I don't think we needed quite that many angels, but whatever. It does bring a question to mind, though, Art, because they even brought it up in the episode, the characters, Dan and Yaz. Are Dan and Yaz stuck around 1901 forever? I doubt it, but they're a little worried about it. And now Claire says that she's, you know, like you said, turning into an angel because she had a premonition of an angel, and the premonition has taken a hold of her mind, and that's making her turn into an angel. I have to say, come on. And the doctor's going to try to remove the premonition from Claire's mind. I mean, that's a little far-fetched, but, you know, the end result is worth it, but a little far-fetched, or is it just me?
No, you know, I've heard someone else say similar things. For me, it wasn't far-fetched, because to me, it just speaks to, A, the danger and potential of a renegade angel. They have to send angels, you know, en masse to recover that angel. I guess angels are pretty awesome creatures. I guess that just makes, in my mind, that makes them just that much more dangerous. It was going to take about 40 angels to catch the one. But, you know, yeah, Dan and Yaz stuck in 1901 forever. That was the fear on Dan's face when he looked at Yaz and said, "Yaz, are we stuck here forever?" I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was so, it was so sad almost. He was almost like a little kid asking, "Are we in trouble?"
Oh, yeah. And, you know, considering what the alternative could be, being death, could be worse, but at the same time, 1901, you're not going to find any Google or Facebook or, heck, Doctor Who hadn't even been invented yet. And today, as we record this, it's the 58th anniversary of the first ever episode of Doctor Who.
Happy Who Day!
Who Day!
Yeah, and the angel in Claire's mind, and I guess, you know, that which contains the image of an angel can become an angel. I see where they were going with that. That makes a little bit of sense. And it was interesting the way they did it. I like the way it was directed with, you know, the seashore and all that, and the angel speaking through Claire. I enjoyed that. But the angel that was hiding in her mind, when did she get there? I mean, I know she was running from the other angels. That was an extraction squad, which immediately opens up questions, so many questions about division and what the angels are used for, but, you know, hopefully we'll get answers to that. But if that angel was not the angel that was hunting down Claire, then when did she get in Claire, and was that angel the reason that she was having the premonitions?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think possibly so.
Sure.
I'm going to go with you on that one, Jada.
All right. We'll just say yes.
Yeah.
I love the whole idea of quantum extraction, even though, I mean, it hasn't been explained well enough to really make sense or for me to, you know, relax my disbelief. I just like the idea. And I guess that's what they do, they being either division or the angels, when they have to recover someone or bring someone in. They quantum extract them? That's intense.
Yeah, you put those two words together and it means something intense.
Yeah, and that's kind of what they did, isn't it? Like, they were like, this doesn't mean anything, but they sound great together, and we'll just say this is what happens, and everyone else can just fill in the missing parts in their head, and it'll be great.
And although I kind of alluded to it just a while ago, you know, some of the steps leading to the episode's endpoint were a bit far-fetched and nonsensical to me. At least the moon isn't an egg, like we had in one of the Capaldi episodes. The end result of the cliffhanger was very well done, very effective. And in fact, if this was a season-ending cliffhanger, we'd be really throwing out theories left and right, but knowing that we're going to have at least a partial answer next Sunday night, it's good. It's all good.
Wow. That bad, huh? Or some of it. Yeah, the reference to the egg episode.
Yeah, that, I was just wondering, are they really, what? Oh, well.
You know, there was all kinds of great stuff in this, too, though. Oh, actually, one of my favorite parts was when the angels start talking to Jericho through the television set and then begin speaking in his voice. Oh, wow. That was both creepy. Yay. Thank you, Doctor Who, for being creepy again. Thank you for keeping the angels scary. But Jericho, well, I can't even pronounce his first name. I'm just going to call him Jericho. That was intense. The things he said, you know, like the bravery and the focus that he had to stand up against those angels. Cause once you've done something like, you know, raiding Nazi concentration camps, you've seen so much horror that you're just ready for whatever.
Yeah, I agree. It was great to see that he was brave and he's like, I've got this and I'll never give up. Mm-hmm. So great character. There's a little more about him in the listener feedback section coming up on episode of your Don't Blink podcast.
So much in this episode, so much. And as I've said, I believe on several other episodes, I really like the idea of division. But now that we're getting a little more on those guys, it's like, oh, these guys are dirty. They use everyone and they're supposedly unstoppable. I mean, if you can send an extraction squad of angels to get Claire simply for the knowledge, which is quite a bit of knowledge, you know, all of Division's knowledge and the memories of the Doctor, then, yeah, you are powerful and probably not on the side of the angels. Sorry, I had to.
No, probably not. And do you think, now that they've thrown this out here, that the angel inside Claire has knowledge of everything, including the Doctor's lost memories, do you think we're going to, maybe next season or in one of the specials, find out some of these lost memories?
You know, I think that Flux will be over in two episodes, but the storyline will continue for the next three specials. I mean, they'd be crazy not to. But you know, I'm not so certain that angel was telling the truth.
Uh-oh.
You know? I mean, that's what you would say to the Doctor. You would tease the Doctor with what the Doctor wants most. And the angels are by no means like, you know, low-grade criminals. They're quantum-locked, time-traveling baddies. They're not above lying.
That's a good point. I need to stop taking everything at face value from some of these creatures.
Yeah, but you know, in the end though, Doctor, you are recalled to Division. Wow. The Doctor is what? A Doctor Angel.
That was mind-blowing. I did not see that coming, and I am surprised that somehow I was able to avoid any spoilers on that, or maybe even the show kept it under wraps so well that there were no spoilers about it, but I was shocked and surprised. How about you?
Yeah, I knew something was going to happen, of course. It was, you know, the airtime was running.
But Dr. Angel?
Oh, yeah, no one saw that. I mean, I don't think anybody saw that coming. No, I won't believe them if they say they did. That was, I was completely out of left field and was wonderful. That was a great cliffhanger.
Then the next thing you know, we're getting actual credits on Doctor Who and a post-credits scene on Doctor Who. I can't recall any time ever seeing a post-credit scene. That was wild. I'm like, I'm all done. I'm thinking about the Doctor Angel and trying to come up with theories. And then we get a post-credit scene with that remaining human. And I'm sorry, remaining human. I forgot your name. And he's, you know, with, we got Vendor, we've got Hologram Bell. And, you know, and now he understands he really was saved by not going along with the crowd and trying to get into the passenger. And what'd you think of that post-credit scene? I guess we have to keep our eyes peeled at all times and not blink. Mustn't blink.
Yeah, you know what sucks about that scene, though?
What?
Doesn't that mean that that guy is the last guy left on that planet?
That's the impression I got. I don't know if there's others on the other side of the land or even how far it goes. And what do they eat? I guess maybe they have stuff in their homes, whatever's left. I don't know, but they're going to have to do something for him. They can't just leave him there.
Yeah. That I enjoyed that. Great. That was a great little surprise. And I like the way it digitally faded out and then too. It was like, oh, wow, a nice little gift. Thank you, Doctor Who. Actually, I like that and pretty much everything about this episode. I know that I remained rather calm, but I was really excited for this episode. And I was really excited after I saw this episode. So much so that I gave it a 9 out of 10 polarity reversals of the neutron flow.
Oh, excellent, Jada. 9 out of 10. I'm almost there with you. I'm at 8.8 out of 10 torches, or as we call them here in the States, flashlights.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but yeah.
Very strong episode. Definitely the best of the season, in my humble opinion.
I agree.
And because of all of the plot lines regarding angels and the drawings and they're coming to life and all of that good stuff, the results from this week's poll on Twitter, at Doctor Who GSM, as well as in your Don't Blink Facebook community group, the question was, so, after watching The Village of the Angels, what are you going to do with those sketches of weeping angels you might have drawn? And the options were burn them, or just put them up on the shelf and frame them, maybe shred them, or are you going to go nuts and draw even more angels? And what's interesting is I'm not even combining the results between Twitter and Facebook this week because they're totally divergent. On Facebook, I think people were a little more coherent of the situation because 63% of the voters said burn those pictures of the angels that they've drawn. Nobody said frame them. 25% said shred them, and 12% said, I'm going to draw even more angel pictures. What could go wrong, Jada? What's the worst that could happen?
Just pictures.
And then on Twitter, only 13% said that they would burn them. Nobody said they would frame them there either. 13% said shred them. And I'm a little concerned about the people voting on Twitter because 74% said that they are going to draw even more pictures of angels.
Well, I know one thing. I'm not taking any advice from anybody off of Twitter.
I guess I like living on the edge. I would see what happened if I shredded them. How about you?
I would definitely have to burn them. I don't want to be in 1901 or the dinosaurs either.
No, that would be interesting. Yes, so thank you everybody for your votes. Be ready for the next poll after the next episode next week. And before we dig into listener feedback, I want to remind you that there are quite a few different shows, podcasts, that you can listen to at goldenspiralmedia.com. This week, one of the marquee shows, The Blacklist Exposed, is back for Season 9, Episode 5, talking about Benjamin T. Okra, which... there's some good names on television these days between him and the professor on this week's episode.
Well, we definitely would love to hear your feedback as well for our next week's show. You can always call our Golden Spiral Media voicemail at 304-837-2278 or by submitting at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback.
Hey there, Wayne and Jada. Samuel Lewis from Going Through Who. That's tscn.tv/GTW for Going Through Who. Sorry I wasn't here last week, but Amazon decided it wasn't going to put the episode up until the day after you required feedback in. But hey, that's the cut cord life that you live. Sometimes things happen. But I get to comment on this one at least. Village of the Angels. My God, just the title alone sends fear up my spine. And, oh, this episode delivered. It delivered big time. An angel taking over the TARDIS, which I will comment a little bit on little bits and pieces about the angels and stuff like that, I think, through this feedback. But this episode really took all of those little bits and pieces of Angels that we had sort of been building through various, television stories, but also any of you that played that Angels phone game that was on iOS and Android, there were bits of Angel abilities that came from that phone game, especially the ability to hijack Yaz's phone to get in the TARDIS in the first place. That had never been fiddled with until the phone game. And since that was an official BBC game, that was lore that they could then put in the television show. So amazing stuff right there. Not many spoilers for that game, but I do recommend that game. It is quite fun. It's one of those found phone things where it pretends that your phone is a phone that someone else had that you found and you get pulled into an adventure. Anyway, enough about that. So, the episode itself, like I said, it delivers on so many things that Angels do. Telepathic talking, all of that. Speaking of the Angels, new look. And I really dig the new look as I look over, and I swear to you, last week I acquired a tiny statue for my streaming background of an Angel sitting over there. And now there's a new design. Nah, not ironic at all. despite that, I really do like the new thing almost better than the old one. It makes them look more like stone statue, and even with their hands out of the way, there's just the I just like the new design. I can't quite put my finger on it as to why. And we also I've got to do my job, of course, and point out the classic series thing. It's happened in the series before, but I'm still going to do it because it's my job. Contact. The Doctor going inside of Claire's mind, and by the way, Wayne, didn't find any Claire in there. Sorry. that was so mean. I'm so sorry. The Doctor going inside and saying contact in order to make contact with her. That is how the different Doctors and multi-Doctor stories always got telepathic contact with each other in order to keep each other abreast, like, because different Doctors would show up at different times, and it would have been horrible if they had to verbally explain stuff all the time, so they did this little contact trick telekinetically, or psychically rather, not telekinetically, different thing, but psychically, and they would always make contact by saying contact. So, nice little classic series nod that I like continuing. By the way, someone brought this up to me, but you notice the Doctor asking permission before going inside of someone's head? Nice little touch that I think maybe 13 has done this once before whenever she's gone in someone's head, but still it's just a nice change instead of, oh, by the way, I need your brain, without even asking. Donna, anybody? This just all around, this episode was amazing to me. Again, as I said last time I gave feedback, the Angels are one of my creatures in Doctor Who, and to see how they were served and to give them this depth of they were division agents, which makes sense. Something that can extract something through time would make the perfect agents for an extraction team. It makes sense. And then the rogue Angel that ends up making the ultimate trade, and the ultimate cliffhanger of the Doctor being turned into an Angel. Because, of course, the Doctor is still the fugitive, even if she doesn't remember what she's running from. So now we've got that. And that trailer. As I scoot away from my microphone for this effect, we get Kate Stewart again! Unit, baby! Yeah, that's right. I yelled off mic so I didn't blow your ears out. But yes, we're getting Unit again. So either they got funding or they've become clandestine. So we're going to get to find out which one it happens to be, which I suspect has something to do with some lore in that escape room thing that they released, that since I could never go to it, I'm not privy to what the new Unit lore is. You know, that it kind of sucks whenever you've got multimedia like that. But at the same time, the people in Britain that get it, awesome stuff. But yes, so with all that, I'm just looking forward to seeing Unit in operation again and see how all that goes. Oh, and speaking of military units, I will say, letting my veteran study just peek a little bit, The professor was a veteran, and he was also a human. So, congrats, Doctor Who, you passed on that one. You passed with flying colors. So, just saying, this is one of those times where Doctor Who, mwah, did it, and did it well. But anyway, that's my two cents. Looking forward to next week, obviously. And talk to you guys next time.
Well, Samuel, you did make me laugh out loud. Yes, Unit is back. Oh, wow. Yeah, there was a lot to that. Thank you, Samuel, as usual, for your great feedback. The Lonely Assassins, you know, I started to play that game, but I never finished it. I kind of might have gotten a little creeped out. Who wants an angel on their phone? Who knows what could happen?
What is the worst that could happen is what I like to ask often. I also did play the Lonely Assassins a bit. I didn't get very far, only because there's so much going on that I didn't have the time to devote to it, but it is a very well done game. And the fact that it's an official BBC game, it's apparently canon, and things were brought in from the game for the show. Samuel, thank you for your voice message. You had so much in there, but it's such great stuff. So thank you for sharing it.
And I didn't realize that there was a new look to the angels. I guess it was such a subtle change that, I passed right over it, but they look great, so I guess the new look is working.
It's always good when an angel that's made out of stone looks even more like it's made out of stone.
Right. Perfect. Well, job well done. Job well done. And yes, the classic series Knot of Contact, when the Doctor went to Clara's mind, that was great. That was good. That was something brought from the past, but also the permission to enter someone's mind is something new for the Doctor, apparently.
She's very kind indeed. And Samuel, no hard feelings. I know you said there was no sign of Clara in there, going back to my theory early on this season. I'm not giving up hope. I'm not fully giving up hope. No, I think there's something
there but
somewhere. Yeah, the hope is dwindling a little bit, but not giving it up. And like Samuel said, it does make sense when you think about it that the angels are division agents. We should have seen it coming, Jada.
Yeah, it makes so much sense in retrospect. And it does make sense also that the Doctor is still a fugitive. I don't know why we would think that because we love the Doctor and time has passed that the Doctor is no longer a fugitive. A fugitive is a fugitive until caught. And the Doctor just recently escaped jail again.
That's a good point. Yes, that was quite an escape. Thank you, Captain Jack. And we're not talking about Captain Jack Sparrow this time around, but that trailer at the very end. Yeah, since it has been shown so many times and so many people have shared it on social media and even BBC has shared screen grabs from it, there's no avoiding it. Kate Stewart from Unit is back in some capacity. And they, even though they just showed her for, I don't even think it was a full second, but you recognize her immediately. What do you think's behind that side of things?
Absolutely. It's so exciting. I can't wait. Just, that's all it takes is a simple flash of Kate Stewart and everyone's excited.
We're easily entertained. Any yep. flashes from almost anybody from the past, you know, if they showed Rose Tyler or Bad Wolf or, you know, we're like, what? Our spidey senses go crazy. And yes, it was nice to see, like Samuel pointed out, that the professor is a veteran and he's, you know, treated properly.
Yes, that was
great. Not like some just warmongering maniac. Humanity is key. Let's see what else came in on the listener voicemail line or sent into goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback.
Hello, Whovians. It's Jeff X-Force 11 flying in off the Wave Rider and leaving my feedback about the excellent episode of Doctor Who we got this week. Man, oh man, anytime the Weeping Angels are involved, it's amazing. But this episode was so good. We have our team split up by time. We have people living out their lives from, you know, when they were sent back to where they are. We have the Doctor being turned into an angel and recalled to Division. I mean, this episode was just so epic. The frightening horror aspects of Who that we enjoy and we like. The sci-fi of it being sent back and forth and how long have the angels been there. I mean, it was just amazing. And I'm going to say it now. If Belle and Vender and their baby aren't the next companions, I'm going to be disappointed because I am just loving their storyline. This is how you add in things and make it feel right and keeping that aspect of the story going without having it direct tie to what we're seeing on screen. I mean, this episode was like a 9 for me. All right, those are my thoughts. X-Force is out.
Jeff Gentry, X-Force 11, thank you yet again for all of your feedback. So well done. And a great point about the people, you know, they were sent back in the past, but they're just trying to live out their lives as best they can while they try to find a way back to modern time.
And also, yeah, Belle and Vinder and their upcoming baby. So many possibilities.
Yeah, I that was a great catch, Jeff, as far as could they be possible companions for the specials this year or the next Doctor or where do they come into play? But I hadn't thought about that, but that would be interesting to actually have a family be the fam. Right?
Yeah,
right?
I see what you did there. Yeah. I won't even get into the crazy theories on the interwebs. I just simply hope that they are companions and nothing more. They have a normal baby.
Yeah, there's some wild theories out there, that's for sure. And we love getting your voicemails after the episode. So please be part of the show next week by calling our Golden Spiral Media voicemail at area code 304-837-2278. Or you can submit it at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. We also had some excellent thoughts in our Don't Blink Facebook group as well. Bianca says, that which contains the image of an angel is an angel. And she says that still gets her every time.
Me too. Somehow it's just properly scary. Well, you know, Neil in the Facebook group said, an extraction squad for the Division. Yikes. And Mindy agrees, right? I guess Weeping Angels would be perfect for the job. Neil also says, biggest cliffhanger yet. And full-size credits, even on BBC America. So we could see the scene within the credits. Bianca also said it well when she commented, coalescence doesn't sound very friendly.
No, it doesn't. It's just one of those words, Jada.
Yeah.
Mindy has an interesting theory. She says, okay, so I know this doesn't necessarily have to do with this episode, but I just rewatched Hellbent with the 12th Doctor. Do you all remember the hybrid prophecy of the Matrix and that the hybrid would stand on the ruins of Gallifrey? They never really confirmed that it was the Doctor and Clara, so maybe it was the Master and the Siberian Time Lord Cybermen? Crazy connection. But I thought I'd throw it out there. I think they also mentioned it being a part of the unraveling of time. Is your mind blown yet, Jada?
Yeah, like, didn't put those two together, but that is a very, very solid theory.
And Graham posted, great to be back in 1901 when Coca-Cola still had cocaine in it. Straight to the shop to get a few bottles. Great episode again. I love the Weeping Angels. The Professor, Eustachius Jericho. I really liked it. He was great. And yeah, what a name. Graham continues, the angel talking to him through the TV was very creepy, and I love it. Don't let the angels touch you twice. Good point. And have we heard about the Division before? Great cliffhanger. Ending with the Doctor, she's really messed up. I paraphrased what he typed. What's going to happen to her? I need a TARDIS to go to next week and find out. Give this episode 9 out of 10. Oh, and the actor portraying Professor Jericho is Gibbs from the Pirates of the Caribbean films. And I appreciate that comment, Graham, as well as pointing that out, because I knew I recognized him. I'm like, where have I seen him before? Where have I seen him before? And yeah, but we need a TARDIS. We can time travel and see the episode right away. Say, just get right there, Jada.
I know. I wish. Oh, I wish. Well, from the same Facebook group, Neil shared the news, which BBC announced just today, about the upcoming New Year's Day Doctor Who special.
Yeah, on Doctor Who Day, which makes sense that they would tell us about it now. I do think it's great news that we're not going to have to wait very long for it. But check out this hyperbole from our friends at the BBC. The 13th Doctor, Jodie Whittaker, and friends will kickstart 2022 with an action-packed, spectacular episode set to air on BBC One on New Year's Day. I mean, the only thing that would be more over the top than that would be, hey, your 2022 is going to be off to a terrible start unless you watched the greatest episode of television that's ever been aired, Doctor Who.
Oh, BBC. Well, with that and all of that being said, be sure to join the Don't Blink Facebook community group and comment on the episode as you're watching it next week.
And in between, you can always check out my Packers Fan Podcast, the show by and for fans of your 13-time NFL champion Green Bay Packers, and you can find it at PackersFanPodcast.com.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Doctor Who GSM, at Wayne Henderson, and at Jada Wilkerson 74. Remember to subscribe to Don't Blink in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, so you'll get episodes automatically when they come out. Of course, you can even listen directly on the website at don'tblinkpodcast.com.
And until next week's installment of the Flux storyline, please tell all your friends about the Don't Blink podcast. And especially now that the angels are back, don't blink. Don't even blink.
Thank you for listening to Don't Blink, a Doctor Who fan podcast, part of the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network of shows. I'm the Doctor in Utah, and the majestic tale of a madman in a box are used with permission from Silver Screen Records. They are composed by Murray Gold and performed by the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, conducted by Ben Foster. Taken from the original Doctor Who soundtrack, Doctor Who Series 6, available on Silver Screen Records.